produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Just so happy that you've tuned in today. This is Matt Garrity, and my wife, Stephanie, is here.
Hello, God bless you.
And we are co-founders and pastors of Lehigh Valley Worship Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And we also are founders of River of Heaven Ministries, and you can connect with us at www.riveroftheaven.org. www.riveroftheaven.org. And we're here to bring you gems for the journey, wisdom from the Word of God. We know that God's Word is infinite in wisdom, and His Word is life, His Word is light. And so we need to dig into the depths of the Word, and when we do that, there are gems that come forth. There are nuggets of wisdom, and there are strategies. There are directional pieces as well that God will bring forth and just bring alive in our life. For the Word of God is living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to even discern the hearts and thoughts of men. So, Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We bless You. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that it may go forth in mighty power, for Your Word always goes forth to accomplish what it sets out to. You watch over Your Word to perform it. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. And so today, we want to talk about the river of life. You know, a little while ago, I began to ask the Lord, Lord, why are we not seeing 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And we have this calamity going on. We've got this pandemic going on. We're in the midst of it. And I'm crying out and saying, God, we really need our land healed. Lord, we really need this to happen. And the scripture before it actually says, when I, the Lord, withhold rain, when I send locusts, when I send a pestilence among my people, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. See, many people read 2 Chronicles 7:14, but they fail to realize that it's a response to 2 Chronicles 7:13. Now, I'm not here to convince anyone that this is sent by God, you know, this pandemic or anything like that, but we know that Romans 8:28 says that all things work together basically for the glory of God. The good and the bad work together. But the result is always we should be crying out, God, heal our land. Heal our land. Because he makes a promise to us. If my people, is that you? Are you a child of God? And he's saying, if my people who are called by my name will what? Humble themselves and pray. So we need to humble ourselves. First and foremost. A lot of people say, oh, we need to pray through it. Yeah, but you need to humble yourself before you can pray. Because God said, I don't want to hear the prayers of the proud. I don't have anything to say but the proud to the proud except for humble yourself. So I just thank you, Lord, for humble people. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And all these things that you have need of will be added unto you, the word of God says in the Gospels. Humble ourselves and pray. Seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Somebody say, repent. Repent. It was never just believe Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. It was repent and believe. Repent and believe. John the Baptist came preaching what? Repentance. Jesus Christ came out and said, repent and believe. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. After, you know, the birthing of the New Testament church, Peter came out and said to those who were standing around the upper room, repent, you crucified the Lord Jesus, repent and believe and you will be saved. And so we must humble ourselves and pray, seek the Lord's face with all that we are, and turn from our wicked ways. And when we do that, God promises us in his word that he hears our prayer. Do you want your prayers to be heard from God by the Lord? He promises to hear those prayers. Prayers from the humble. Prayers who seek him with all their heart. Who love them with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And those who come from a repentant heart. Like in other words, clean me, O God. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse myself, Lord. Cleanse my body. Cleanse everything about me. I want to be pure. I want you to know that it's a pure request coming up before you. I'm reminded of what it says in the word in Isaiah chapter 6. The prophet is taken into a vision of the throne room of God. And he comes into the throne room and he says, behold, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. And he's looking, and then there's angels crying out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Another angel cries out again, holy, holy, holy. They're crying out, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah is shaken and he's undone. Oh my God, I've seen the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. And so what does it cause the prophet to do? He doesn't just look around. He doesn't just start to say, oh, I think I need this from you today, Lord, and I'd like you to give me this. And no. He repents. He says, woe am I, for I'm unclean. I'm an unclean man, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. The prophet Isaiah was not really that unclean of a man, but he was the most holy prophet in Israel at that time, who God was using to speak as a vessel. He's speaking as an oracle of the Lord to the people, a national renowned prophet, if you will. But yet, in the light of when he gets in the throne room of God, he says, you're God, you're completely holy, and I'm not, and I'm unclean. And not only that, but I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. So what? I repent, purify me, and cleanse me. And what is God's response? He sends an angel with a coal from the altar, and he touches the prophet's lips. He touches the prophet with the coal, and he said, behold, you've been cleansed. And that goes right in step with 2 Chronicles 7:14. When we humble ourselves and we pray, we seek his face, and we turn from our wicked ways. I'm unclean. Woe am I. Cleanse me, Lord. God says, I'll not only hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. And so we need healing in this land like never before. So I was asking the Lord one night, very vehemently, Lord, why are we not seeing the healing of the land? And he told me simply, because my people need to humble themselves. They need to pray. They need to seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And I said more specifically, Lord, you know, what can we do? What, you know, how can we bring this about? How is this going to work in your body during this time? You know, do we get the church together? Do we get the region together? And do we call for a time of fasting and prayer? How do we go about this? And I really began to seek him even more. I said, how do we implement this strategy, Lord? Because many people have humbled themselves and pray and sought your face and turned from wickedness. But how do we truly begin to realize and see this healing of the land? And so I had a dream that night when I went to bed. And in the dream, it was very profound. I walked into this meeting, and it was a well-known international man of God, and he contends very strongly for revival. He contends very strongly to see 2 Chronicles 7:14 manifest in our generation. And this man called me out from the crowd, and he said, come here, and he laid his hands on me. And when he laid his hands on me in the dream, I began to have a vision. So it was kind of a dream within a dream, if you will. And in this vision, I was in a field. I walked out and I was in this field and I looked around and it was dry. And I looked around and there was large blades of grass, and on those blades of grass were praying mantises, and they were dried out. They looked like almost like a skeleton, an exoskeleton, if you will, of the actual insect. And I'm looking, and they're still alive, but they're very dry. And the Lord said to me in the dream, behold, behold. And so I began to really seek the Lord and say, oh God, I saw all these things that you showed me. And I saw this field that was dry. And I saw these praying mantises that were on these blades of grass that were dry. And everything was dry, oh God. And you know what the Lord said to me? The Lord said, the praying has become dry. That's why the land is dry. Because the praying has become dry. The Lord said, my prophetic people have become dry. The praying has become dry. Therefore, the land remains dry. And so, the Lord was speaking and saying, what you can do specifically, son, what you can do specifically as to encourage the body of Christ, it's time to get back to swimming in the river. It's time for inviting the rain of God. It's time again to ask the Lord to bring those times of refreshing. It's time again to cry out, oh God, come to us like the rain, as it says in Hosea chapter 6 verse 3. For many at this time will call out in prayer and they'll look for answers and solutions. But how many are calling and just saying, oh God, come to us like the rain. We need a saturation. Oh, the praying's become dry because we've become dry. Oh Lord, let us again not just walk in your river, not just wade in your river, but let us swim in your river. And the river of God always is symbolic of the Spirit of God in the scripture. It's always symbolic of Holy Spirit in the scripture. God is saying that the praying people, those who pray, have become dry because their fellowship's become dry with me. They're just praying prayers. They're just speaking words, but they're not wet. They've not submerged themselves. They're not engulfed. They're not entrenched. They're not immersed in me. The praying has become dry. The prophecy has become dry. They're just words, the Lord says. They're just words. And because of it, the land remains dry. And so I want to talk to you today about the river of life. One of the gems the Lord showed me some time ago is that we need to understand what God meant when he said that his river would flow. And so there's really three scriptures that highlight the river of the Lord, or the river of life, if you will. The first is Genesis chapter 2. The second is Ezekiel chapter 47. And the third is Revelation chapter 22. And so today we're going to look at Genesis chapter 2. Generally, when we want to understand anything, we go back to the beginning. If you want to do something, you want to figure out how to, something broke, something fell apart, where do you go? You go back to the instruction manual, right? You go back to where the directions were of how to put it together. Similarly, we go back to the beginning to find God's original intent for all things, right? So in Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 8,
the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stones are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes towards the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates.
So it's really interesting that when God, he puts Eden, so he puts, he is the kingdom of God, he puts this outpost of the kingdom of God on earth called Eden. He puts Adam and Eve, the man and woman of God, in the garden to govern it. And he says that the first thing that flows out of it is what? It's a river. And it's not just a single flowing river. It's a river that breaks into four headwaters. Now what's interesting about these headwaters is they each have names in Hebrew. Amen? The word Pishon says, means increase. Say increase. The word Gihon means bursting forth or breaking through. Say bursting forth. Say breaking through. The word Hiddekel or Tigris means rapid. Say rapid. And Euphrates means fruitfulness. And also similarly, we need to understand that not only was it flowing, a river flowing out of God's garden in Genesis chapter 2, but also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 9 and 10, not only was there a garden with a river flowing out of it in the Garden of Eden, but the Bible says in the Amplified, for we are God's fellow workers, his servants working together. You are God's cultivated field, his garden, his vineyard, God's building. So not only is there a garden in Eden, but God said that we as children of God are his garden. And as there was a river flowing out of his garden in Eden, so also there are rivers, there is a river flowing out of us as the garden of God. And we know that river comes from the source, the living water himself, Jesus Christ. And so we need to appreciate that in the beginning there was a river, God placed a garden, and out of the garden flowed a river. And similarly in 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about we are God's garden. And when you are born again, the living water, Jesus Christ himself, comes to dwell in you. And then out of our belly flows rivers of living water. Out of us flows the river. Again, out of God's garden flows a river. And it brings life, as we're going to look and find out more as we continue with this teaching. So let's now deal with what each one of these rivers means in Hebrew and what revelation comes out of each meaning of the rivers flowing. The first river is Pishon. And Pishon means increase. Increase. This word increase can also mean full flowing. God is never a God of scarcity and lack. He owns it all. Amen? Now, I'm not going to get off balance with all the, you know, there's a lot of people that just preach prosperity. God wants to make everyone a millionaire. I'm not saying that. But he wants you to have more than enough. Why? So that when people are hurting, they're saying, I don't have enough gas to do this. I don't have, you know, the resources to do this. As the people of God, we should be like, man, I have the river of increase flowing into my life. Here's 20 bucks. Here's 50 bucks. Man, here, build that house. That's the faith I have. I want the Lord to bless us so incrementally financially that we can help people build things that they want to build. The government should not be the answers to the nation's problems. The church should be. Yeah. And we should have enough money, these churches with millions of dollars, man, let's start putting it to work to help with things instead of the government having to do everything. Come on. What about a program for that? I know there's some things, but I mean like grand scale projects. You don't need votes. Hey, here's $1 million. Go do that. Go build that. No votes necessary. Amen? Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:19 that believers would be filled with the fullness of God. And John spoke of Jesus in John 1:16 in the Amplified Version, saying, out of the fullness, the abundance, we have all received and been supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped, that's in the Amplified, upon gift. In other words, God has supplied us with fullness. Say fullness. Similarly, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, God has given us, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So again, we see this fullness. He's given us all things. All right, so the second river is Gihon. Say Gihon. And it means bursting or gushing. Now, what I find so interesting about this is that God, that he, in his creativity, he named it, there's four headwaters. Like, in other words, he's shown us a small facet of who he is by saying, out of the garden that I placed there, it's not just, there's not just going to be Eden, my pleasure there, and man governing it. But out of Eden, say out of Eden, there's a flow. How many of you know that Eden was already full of increase? It was already full of gushing. It was already full of fruitfulness. It was already full of rapidity, right? Of purpose and growth and things like that. His will was for it to come out of Eden. Say out of Eden again. And this seems to be the issue that some of the church has. We have stuff going on here. Man, we're full. We've got the word. We've got the glory of God. What about it going out of Eden, out of the church, into the streets, into the community? Amen? Yeah. To touch people. John 4:14 in the Message Version says, anyone who drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Not ever. The water I give will be artisan spring, that's an interesting translation, within gushing fountains of endless life. Gushing fountains of endless life. Christ is the answer, but we have what they need. Amen? If you found a gold mine, would you keep it to yourself? Maybe some of you would, but what should you do? I found a gold mine. There's plenty for everybody. Let's go. Get your ship. We'll sail over there. And it's in that cove. Anyway. The third river is the Hiddekel. Say Hiddekel or Tigris. This means, there's a little different, but it can also mean swift or darting. And it's kind of like a word picture of like an arrow in flight. So you picture an arrow. It's not a picture of an arrow and a quiver, but it's something that is called to hit the mark. It's something with purpose. Amen? It's something that's darting. It's something that has a projected path. How many know that when the river flows, it brings purpose? But when you come in, sometimes you're like, man, God, I don't know. You know, I'm here in my life or whatever. But then you renew with purpose when the glory of God comes, because you're being hit by a river full of purpose. Swift and darting. A man who was praying fervently at a prayer meeting was asked what he was praying about. He looked up, paused a second, and then said, nothing in particular. Here's my question. If we're praying for nothing in particular and God answers our prayer, what exactly is that we end up with? We need a target for our prayers. Amen? When we pray, we can't just be like, oh God, just bless everybody. You know, I mean, you can pray general prayers. That's fine. But I'm saying, let's start believing God for things. Let's have purpose in our prayers. When things flow out, when the river of God flows out, it brings purpose. It, like, people are like, man, I've been all over the place, but for some reason now I feel like alive again. But not only do I feel alive, but I feel like I made a list of goals for myself. I feel like I can do it. It brings purpose. When you find out your identity, now there is a God of the universe that placed you here to do miraculous, amazing things and to help people who are hurting, to help to rescue those who are living in darkness and stuff like that. How many know that is one of the greatest purposes you could ever think of? There's all these nonprofit companies. I want to change the world. Great. Get the word of God into you. Amen? Get the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't do it on your own.
That's right.
The fourth river is the Euphrates. Say Euphrates again. Euphrates. It means fruitful. I think everyone knows that that's a good word. Fruitful. The opposite of fruitfulness is what? Barrenness. Barrenness speaks of like when you picture a desert, there's hardly any water in a desert, except maybe if you see a mirage, then there's water in the desert. Or you find like some little, but it also speaks of, you know, there's also things can be barren, you know what I mean? Trees can be barren. What does that mean? There's no fruit in the tree. The tree's supposed to produce fruit, but there's no fruit found in the tree. Amen, amen. Well, we know that you are blessed by the broadcast today, because the word of God came forth. And remember that the garden of God, wherever there is a garden, wherever there is something that God has placed, there are four things that will always flow out of it. Increase will always flow out of it. Growth will always flow out of it. Purpose will always flow out of it. And fruitfulness will always flow out of it. In 2 Corinthians 3, it says that we, not just the Garden of Eden, but it says that we are the garden of God. He is the vine. In John 15, 5, it says that I am the vine, Christ says, and you are the branches. But another scripture says you are God's masterpiece. You are God's garden. And so as the garden of God, what's flowing out of you? And if you've never had this happen for you before, never had this happen in your life before, just say, thank you, Lord, that I'm your garden, and that I know, Lord, whenever you created a masterpiece, wherever you created a garden, there was four things that you had intended to flow out of it. Increase, growth, purpose, and fruitfulness. And so, Father, we just thank you for your people. God, I just thank you for your people today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you, and may he give you his peace. May you understand that you are the garden of God, and may increase flow from you. May growth flow from you. May purpose flow from you. May fruitfulness flow from you, and may it touch all the people around you. May it bring life to those dead places and refreshing to those dry places all around your life. God bless you today. Thank you for tuning in to Gems for the Journey with Matt and Stephanie Garrity. And I just want to invite you, if you've never connected with us before, connect with us at www.riverofheaven.org. And along those same lines, make sure you get your hands on a copy of my new book, Holy Spirit, the Sevenfold Spirit of God. We explore the holiness of God, but also the sevenfold nature of his Spirit. He's the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And so if you want to learn more about the holiness of the Holy Spirit and the sevenfold nature of the Spirit, make sure you get that book. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBooks, and other avenues. God bless you today. I look forward to being with you. We look forward to being with you next time, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Sing holy, sing holy, sing holy is the Lord. We sing holy.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Greetings, precious saints. This is Pearline from God's Precious Pearls Ministry, just greeting you again. I pray everyone is doing well in the midst of our global crisis. I pray you and your loved ones have been well and you haven't come under attack or during this pandemic. If you have, we'll continue to pray for you. We pray for healing as we do for everyone at this time. A very special thanks to Kayla from Finding My Way Radio Network USA World and Josie from Josie Inspirational Radio Network USA World and Ewing Moving and Storage for sponsoring this program. Thank you, and I pray everyone is keeping safe and well and healthy. Let's pause to pray for a moment. Precious Heavenly Father, I just give you thanks and praise and glory. Thank you, Lord God, for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Father God, I want to thank you for having kept us during this global crisis. And Father God, for those who have been ill or those who are still ill, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for complete healing for them, healing and restorations for their bodies. And Father, we pray, continue to pray for the medical staff who are out there in the front line, for all the ambulance drivers, oh Father, ever work within the hospital who have given so much of their time. Father God, we pray for strength and we pray for peace upon them in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, I ask for your blessing and your anointing upon this word in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you to please speak through me in the name of Jesus. Bless your listeners, Father God. May they be blessed, encouraged, and inspired on the hearing of this word. Father, I give you praise, glory, and honor. In the name of Jesus, I pray with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. My friends, as we're well aware, we're living in very, very serious and dangerous times. And like never before, it is time for us to draw closer to the Lord, to know him, to embrace him even more, and to bring praise, glory, and honor to him, and to just live the life that he has called us to live, the life that he died for us for to live. And this is a life of peace and joy, glorifying him, honoring him every single moment of our life. It is so important. We don't want to hear him say to us, depart from me, I never knew you. This is so important. It's such an urgent call at this time for us to draw closer to the Lord. You know, as I pondered on this, I thought one way of doing this is really to know Jesus, know who he is, and to be like him. You know, we know him through his word, but we need to know Jesus for who he really is, his character. And the fruits of the Spirit really, truly describes his character. And I felt led at this time for us to explore this subject and learn a bit more and learn more to be like Jesus and to emulate him in every possible way. You know, the Lord is so good to us. He's so good to us. You know, as I studied this subject a few years ago, it was life-changing for me. And I pray that as you look at the subject yourself and study this subject, you too, your lives will be changed to the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just pray that we will grow together even more as we discuss this subject. The Word of God tells us that we're not to be partakers of this world. We're not to bear the fruits of this world. And Galatians 5, 19 to 21 tells us what the spirit of this world is. And we know it's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and rivalries. The word tells us that those who partake of these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. As the Lord permits, we're going to take a slow journey through a study of the fruits of the Spirit. Just week by week, we'll go through this. Romans 12, 1-2 tells us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The only way we're going to be able to imitate Christ Jesus is through the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, also in prayer. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our counselor and our guide. He teaches us all things, all that we need to know. He teaches us. Galatians 5, 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You see, there's a constant war going on between the flesh and the Spirit. And as we're conformed to the Word of God, studying the Word of God and applying the Word of God, that changes us and helps us, along with the Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us and showing us the way. The character of our Lord Jesus Christ is evidenced, as I said before, in the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? We read this in Galatians 5, 22-23. And I'll just read off the fruits here to you. You know them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Matthew 7, 16 tells us, you will know them by their fruits. What fruits do we produce? Are we bearing the fruits of this world? which is so toxic, which is so destructive, or are we bearing the fruits of the Spirit, which is our Lord Jesus Christ? Before we look at the fruits of the Spirit, I would like for us to look at guidelines in growing in the Spirit that we might be fruitful. You see, a tree does not pop up overnight. There is a process. There's a planting that takes place. There is there's a whole process, you know, for this tree to come forth, a whole long process, and it takes time. I want you to take a note of Romans 8, 1 to 17. I take some time to read that, but I will look at verses 5 to 8 and verse 14. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity with God, nor indeed can be, so those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. There is a process of fruit bearing. First, the seed of God's word must be planted in good soil within us. We were born in sin, and within us was the serpent seed, which is the corruptible seed. But when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we were born again, the Lord says we're to be born again. Born, not born in the natural, but born of the Spirit. We are born again of God's incorruptible seed. And this allows us to grow and mature in grace. To be fruitful and to be productive is also the process, thus imitating the life of Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Walking in the Spirit and living a fruitful and productive life does not happen overnight, as I mentioned before. Like the plant, we go through the growth process. Planting the seed, and then comes the tender sprout, the young seedling, the tree, the limbs, you know, the trunk, the tree, and the leaves, the blossoms, and the fruit. The seed, which is God's word, must germinate as we nurture it constantly in God's word, by watering it daily in the word and prayer. If not, the growth will be hindered or the seed die. We are to live pure, holy, sanctified lives and always checking the condition of our heart. We're not to contaminate or hinder the growth of the seed within us. And by so doing, as I said before, we abide in God's word and we do not partake of the things of this world. We must keep a constant watch on the condition of our heart. And we must also be mindful of the ground where the seed is planted. Matthew 13, 3 to 23 describes that for us. And further on, we read where, we read here where some seeds were planted by the wayside. And here we see the word was read, but it was not understood, right? It was not received as it should have been. It therefore could not take root. And because it was not rooted within us, we just read it. We did not ponder on it. And the wicked one came and snatched the seed away. And the wicked one is the enemy of this world. The fowls, the enemies of this world, they snatched the seed away. And therefore, the seed could not germinate. It could not produce the tree that it should have produced and the fruits that it should have produced. Some fell on stony grounds. Here we see there is not much soil, there's stony. Here again we ask, what is the condition of our heart? Do we have a stony heart and not a heart of flesh? Do we have a tender, fleshy heart so the word of God can be planted, where he can be root, where it can germinate, and where it can be rooted and anchored within our souls? You know, as I think about this, I go back to my profession as a midwife, where I worked as a midwife, and we think about that baby that at conception there's a process for the placenta to be anchored onto the mother's womb, and different processes can take place which may hinder, this doesn't happen very often, which may hinder the anchoring of the placenta, which nourishes the baby, to the mother's womb. And if that placenta is not anchored properly or even in the proper position, abortion can take place. Here it is, the seed that was planted within the woman's womb dies because it was not anchored. You know, something may have happened. It may be a condition of the uterus. It may be just some malfunction in somewhere. So here we have a dying of this precious seed that was planted within the womb. So back again to the stony ground. Here there was not much soil. We ask, what is the condition of the heart? We read the word. We receive it with joy. But there isn't enough soil for the seed to germinate. It has no root. When the sun came up, you know, all the pressures of this world, persecution, tribulation, trials of all sorts. And we have nothing to hold on to, because the seed did not thrive. The seed withered away, and there was nothing to glean from the seed that was planted, nothing at all. You know, for the seed, the word of God to be anchored within us, we do not just read. We're to be hearers. We hear the word, ponder on it. And as we ponder on it, it's anchored within our souls. Anchored, it takes root within our souls. And in the time of need, we're able to draw from that word. And the beautiful thing is, the Lord watches over his word to bring it to pass. So when we go through these trials, when we pray his word, when we turn to his word, we have something to draw from. The word tells us here that some fell on good ground and yielded much fruit. 160 and 30-fold, an abundant harvest came forth. God tenderly watches over us during this time, and he teaches us. God is so patient, and the Holy Spirit is such a gentle teacher. You know, all we have to do is ask. Anything we do not understand, ask, and he will just show it to us. He will just teach us. He's the best teacher. Like the tender plant, he also protects and prunes us that we may bear much fruit. You know, this is what he tells us in his word. He said we are to abide in him that we may bear much fruit. And he said, if we do not bear much fruit, he said he will trim us, he will prune us. And when you prune a dead limb or a limb that doesn't seem to be thriving too well, and we cut that dead part off, what happens is new growth comes forth. So from this new growth, as you know, fruits will come. You know, it's like flowers. My flowers, if I want my flowers to keep blooming, I don't leave the dead flowers on to take the life away from the rest of the plant. No, I cut those dead flowers off. And the more I cut them off, the more beautiful flowers will come forth. We're also made stronger and wiser, you know, through the trials, through our pruning. By applying the word of God, which is so powerful, we become stronger. We learn, we glean wisdom as we go through these trials, and abiding in God's word, abiding in that incorruptible seed, abiding in what has been planted inside of us. This helps us not only to know the word, but as I said before, to be a doer of it. You apply the word. We bring it to pass. We see it being manifested in our lives in any situation. We must be fully mature in the Lord Jesus Christ in all the growth process. We bear blossom, which eventually bear fruits. Note, blossoms are beautiful, and we are changed. The more we abide in the Lord, you know, we become changed in his presence. We become more radiant, more beautiful. His glory rests upon us. I call it Holy Ghost collagen. We don't need ordinary collagen. We've got Holy Ghost collagen. As we abide in the Lord, his glory shines upon us, and we become more radiant and beautiful. We think of the blossoms. They bear beautiful fragrance. This is a sweet aroma of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our blossoms will cause others to be drawn to us because of the sweet aroma. You find people coming to you. They come to you with questions. They come to you with problems. And because of the word which abides in us, we have an answer for them in this situation. 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 16 tells us, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his fragrance, of his knowledge, I beg your pardon, in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." For to the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other we are aroma of life leading to life. As we grow and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, we bear fruit by abiding in him. We gain wisdom and counsel, as I said before, and as I mentioned again, I'll mention again, able to impart wisdom to others. We are called trees of righteousness. Psalm 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season." Fruits for every season and every situation of our lives or the lives of others. No matter what the situation is, we have a word for them in season. Being born again of God's incorruptible seed, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are anchored in him, as we abide in him, we will bear much fruits, his fruits. We become like him. I like the song, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, my Savior and friend." You know that beautiful song. It's good to be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to trust in him. And, you know, as we read God's word, as I said, we have to examine our hearts in order for the word of God to germinate inside of us, to take root inside of us. We have to keep a constant watch on the condition of our hearts. You know, if we're hurting and we need healing, seek healing. Forgive where we need to forgive. Love where we need to give to love. You know, love, as we know, is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And we will go into that next time. But let's always take time to look at our hearts, look at the condition of our hearts. What soil do we have? Do we have rocks or thorns within our soul, within our spirit? Are we choking the word of God? Are we allowing ourselves time to ponder on the word of God, that when we read it, it becomes anchored, safe and secure within us, that when it's time for the word to come forth, when it's time for, you know, as we grow, we're growing through the word, maturing through the word, being changed through the word. I just pray that, you know, we will all take time just to ponder in this, look at this carefully, pray about this, and ask the Lord to change us. Ask the Lord to help us in this process, because the word of God is sharp, it is sweet, it is powerful. It is so effective for any season, in sorrow and in joy. We need the word of God. So we need to hold that dear to us, pondering God's words, as I said, and just feed on it, meditate on it. And, you know, when the word was spoken to Mary, she pondered. She was surprised that that word was given to her. But the word of God tells us that she pondered on it. She pondered in it. And as she did, she received that word. So no matter what the trials she may have faced after, you know, being a young girl, bearing the Lord Jesus Christ at that time, not being married, the baby Lord Jesus could have been aborted. But she knew who she was in Christ Jesus. The promises were anchored in her. The word was anchored in her. She took time away to be with her sister Elizabeth so that the seed could be anchored. And this is very important, because even in a normal pregnancy, it takes 3 months for the baby to withstand any trial. And during this 3 months, the baby was anchored within her. It was anchored within her. So all the persecution, all the trials that she faced, she was able to withstand because the baby was anchored. My friends, let's ponder on God's word. Let's examine our hearts and allow the soil of our hearts to be rich soil, not harboring any sort of bitterness, anger, strife, misery, whatever, to choke out the word, to read the word and not absorb it. Allow it to be rooted and grounded in us, that it will bear forth much fruit, a huge tree, a tree of righteousness, which is planted by the rivers of life. And there we will bear much fruit. and we will grow to be like Jesus. I love you all. Let's continue in our next meeting to talk more about this, and we will go through each fruit on each meeting. May the Lord continue to bless you. I encourage you all to continue to pray Psalm 91 over yourselves and your loved ones, and to remain cover and hid under the blood of Jesus Christ. We are in terrible times right now, and we need that like never before. I love you all, and let's continue to pray for one another. The Lord bless you. Until next time, goodbye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.